Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along to episode 175 of the Milk Bar. Jason and Zoe, same country, same continent, same building.
Amazing.
And talking to each other and everything. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
It's been yonks since I've seen you in the studio.
I know. Has it been about 4 weeks or something?
Yeah, because it's been 2 weeks since we recorded. The previous 2 weeks before that, you were not able to get here.
Miss Whiplash.
Yes, you were.
One of the weeks.
That was slightly strange, but there we are. So what have you been up to, apart from recovering from whiplash? Working hard? You're looking quite bright and perky.
Am I really?
Yeah, it's unusual.
Yes. Oh, do you know, this last week I've been out for that many meals. I don't know. I haven't eaten at home, hardly.
I haven't eaten at home in 2 weeks, having been to Australia and Perth, which you'll have heard last week on the show. And then after that, I flew to Oman via Dubai and then spent Friday...
Jollies.
No, it's work. It's all work. I got one day off in Perth, which is what you heard on the podcast last week.
Yeah.
And then I got about 2 hours to go around Dubai to sightsee Dubai, somewhere the size of... I did see the world's tallest building, but... That was it, 2 hours.
You must like going to meetings and things. You must take in the atmosphere and where you are and things.
I can look out the window, but that's about it. It's not quite the same.
It's still somewhere different.
It is.
You've still experienced it. The culture and the food.
What happens is you end up...
Have you bought me a present?
No, I haven't bought you a present. No. Unless you can have. What I've got is I just end up with loads of foreign money.
That looks good. It's worth it. It's like Monopoly.
Have one of those. There you go. Have some money.
Ooh, how much is that worth?
That's worth 22 pence, I think it is.
Oh, okay.
It's 100 basia. 1,000 of those make one Omani rial.
And how much is that worth?
That's worth £2.
Are you joking?
No. That's not. It's worth. Is it? What? Yeah, one's worth £2, I think. Something like that. Yeah.
Can you change them back again? Because the notes.
No, because these are little 20 pence notes. They're not going to change those back, are they? The Australian ones are really cool. They've got a little plastic window through it so you can see through your money. And the Queen is on the $5 bill in Australia.
See how interesting that is. And you wouldn't have known if you hadn't have gone.
Yeah. Well, I do like the Australian 50 cent piece. That's quite nice. Should we get on with the programme?
I think we should.
Yes. Because I did enough talking about Australia last week. Okay. So coming up this week, who have we got, Zoe?
Well, we're going to be chatting to... Phil Butler again. I always like talking to him.
He's on the phone a little bit later on. We have Grant Nicholas from Feeder, our frontman, joining us for a chat. We'll also be hearing from Will from the band The Blue Veils, and we're sharing their music today. But first of all, we go to the phones where we find another Turner, Zoe.
Ooh, I wonder if we're related.
We can check later, possibly. Only on Michael's side, obviously.
Yes.
But Jerome Turner joins us on the phone now. Hello, sir.
Hello.
So you're the founder of the 8mm Cine Club.
That's right, yes.
Taking place in Wensfield, I believe.
That's right, yeah. We started it last month and we're going up for another session in November, so yeah.
Is it the old spools that people imagine when they see it on the...
It's proper film, isn't it, basically?
Yeah, it's the old kind of home 8mm film reel, the little round ones that you get about 3 minutes long each.
I did something at university with those as part of my...
It was a new technology then, though, wasn't
it? No, I had to sort of like splice it up and put music over the top. It was a bit arty-farty.
Well, that was my sort of first experience of it as well. around about that, like 10, 15 years ago at university, playing around with it.
Yeah, it was really interesting, actually, and you could make some fantastic little pieces. Well,
can you still get film these days, then? If you wanted to go out with the old cine camera, could you go out and do that now with a roll of Agfa?
You used to be able to... Go into Jessop's, buy a little Super 8 cartridge, shove it in your camera, film it, and then post it off to, I think it was Wimbledon or somewhere like that. I don't know if you can still buy it, but I think there's more of a problem with getting it developed. I don't know. I think you might have to send it off to Europe to get it developed. I'm not sure. But there are still like companies, like independent people that will develop it and transfers to digital as well, I think, around the UK.
Oh, you don't want to spoil it and send it onto digital. You want the clacking noise of the actual projector itself, really, don't you?
Yeah, well, I've been showing some of the films and then recording them with just like a digital camera and then sticking them on YouTube. And what's quite nice is, that rattle in the background of the film projector going off.
Got to be proper. Now, 8mm film, as you say, was very much a home format. My mum had a camera. Now, her camera took 16mm film, and halfway through filming, you'd have to then take the film out, turn it over in a darkened room, put it back in and rethread it through the camera. And then you filmed on the other side, and then when you sent it off, it only had the sprockets down one side, and then the other side was just where they cut the film down the middle. So what sort of film do you use? And are you to get some professionally made films as well, or where are you sourcing your material from?
Well, the idea with the Cine Club is that it's for anybody who's got films kind of kicking around, who wants to bring them along to play them. And we did have somebody come last time with some 16mm film, but we didn't have a projector for it. So hopefully in the future, at somewhere along the line, somebody will bring along a 16mm projector, because last time somebody brought along a very good 8mm projector, but then because they also brought an 8mm film that they'd made in Wensbury in 1982 or 84 called Bread Wars, and it was a kind of comedy drama about kind of corporate sabotage amongst bread bakeries in Wensbury. It was quite odd, but very good. It was quite entertaining. And it was about 20 minutes long. I didn't expect an epic. I expected
Are these films that people have made themselves, or are there things that have been produced, like the BBC?
People have been enjoying themselves making films. But there is this sort of stuff out there, isn't there? So you could come across a gem in somebody's loft.
Well, interestingly, I was speaking to somebody somebody had put me in touch with them, because it was in the paper, so I've had a few people phone me up. And somebody was saying it was a lady who had some kind of film that she thought was of historical interest from Bilston. And I had a chat, and I mean, I don't think she'll be able to come along, because she's quite elderly, so I don't think she'll be able to come along to the sessions, and I'm not quite sure who's got the films. But hopefully there may be, like you say, out of somebody's loft, you could find all kinds of things, like celebrities, stuff that people have shot of royals visiting the area, all that kind of thing, or old things to do with kind of black country industry or that kind of thing, historical.
Because cinefilm isn't exactly a cheap hobby, is it? And never was a cheap hobby.
I don't know, actually. Because at the time it was the only option if you wanted to make film. Mm. So there were no other formats. A couple of days after we had the club, somebody phoned me up, and it was a guy from Walsall. And I went to see him, and he said he had a projector and a camera and all that kind of thing that he would quite happily pass on to me, because he had no use, because he digitised all the films.
Yeah.
And I met him and his wife, and again, they were very elderly, and she had given him the camera on their wedding day to shoot their honeymoon day, basically. And they clearly then spent her life on holidays all over the place, shooting all kinds of, like, films just of their holidays. But it's like the modern day, it's the equivalent of the modern day thing of just doing it on your iPhone, shooting
But you talk about these films as well from the 80s, and to me, in my head, 80s was people wandering around with massive video recorders
on the shoulder jobs.
But I suppose, I mean, I couldn't have been that old, because we've got some cine film from me in the late 70s when we went off to look around a model village somewhere in Wales. I remember that. So the bulk of my family stuff comes from the mid to late 60s. And we've actually, my mum and dad actually have a wedding video, same sort of thing. It's on cinefilm. And the interesting part about that was loads of people would stand there and stand still to be cinefilmed. Because they weren't used to it. Even then, it wasn't every day that somebody turned up with a little camera.
No, that's true. And I think the other thing that's quite funny when I was watching my films that I'd taken at university, and because you're aware that you've got this thing in, and like you say, it's not massively cheap, but it's only 3 minutes long. So all of my shots that I'd taken were all really, really short. So it looks like I've done something really stylistic, but actually it was me panicking about capturing the moment, but not using up too much film. So, you know, 3 minutes on there.
And it's how many frames end up on the cutting room floor as well, because it's something you can edit, and you can edit easily. Because compared to video, you don't need to do the editing post-production. All you need is a light source and a blade and some glue.
It's easy to do.
So cement is the correct technical term for it, I think. But.
Yeah, we have got a little splicing thing where you line them up over the sprockets and then some of the tape stuff. But I've never cut or spliced anything that I shot when I was at university. I don't think I just used it as was, really. Mm-hmm. But that's what I quite like, the idea that people might turn up with sort of stuff that's been processed but maybe never watched, that their granddad had and had passed on when they died, or their granddad's granddad or whatever. Mm. And there was one guy that last time, and he said he had one of the films he had on this big long reel was of his mother who had died 20 years before. So he'd seen it when it was shot, but obviously not seen it that that recently, so he was quite keen to watch it next time he came, basically. Mm. And he was, I don't know, maybe 90, so...
Is the equipment very expensive? I mean, say if somebody's quite interested in doing it as an art form, but they haven't got anything at all, can they go out and buy the equipment, or is it something that's just quite...
It's all second-hand, I'm guessing.
No, I know, but yeah. I didn't know how rare it would be to get one that's in working condition.
It's interesting, because the guy who gave me the camera, I said to him, look, I'll take it away, but I don't know how likely it is that I'll be able to use this, so I'll look on eBay to see if it's got a resale value. And you kind of think, oh, yeah, well, collectors, yeah, well, they'll be paying loads for these cameras. But actually, a box brownie, like a standard box brownie load-and-shoot kind of camera or projector or whatever, isn't actually that expensive. It's because, partly because it's, in some eyes, some people's eyes, a dying art form. So eBay is definitely the best place to start. But there probably are people who still, you know, make, you know, like home cine cameras now, but... I guess the people that make them new, they probably are charging a bit more for them. But eBay would be a good place to start for projectors and cameras. I would guess even before that, it would be good to research where you buy the film and where you get it processed. Because, as you say, that's less common. Well. And the other thing is kind of bulbs.
Bulb is a biggie, isn't it? Because that's the more difficult one. And they're quite specific to these old machines.
Yeah,
and bulb technology has changed quite a lot.
Yeah, so... Yeah, I guess that there may well be people still making the new projectors, but what's quite interesting is I started this quite innocently without being in any way at all an expert, and yet one of the guys that came was clearly had known what he was doing with all this for quite a long time, and we very quickly started using his projector in the session and used that for the rest of the session. So it's quite nice because it's unearthing all these experts, and these people came along and they'd never met each other before, but they immediately all sat down and started talking to each other about the film.
Something really cool in common, though. And a lot of the 16mm ones have got a soundtrack on the side if they're professionally produced haven't they?
Well, this guy that had made this Bread Wars film, and that was, I'm pretty sure that was only 8mm, but he just started setting up speakers, and I said, oh, crikey, sound as well. So I think he'd got a soundtrack that he'd done with this film, and he said next time that he was coming along that he was going to bring another one he's got that's got kind of full martial arts scenes in it, apparently.
Wow.
Which I'm guessing is things spliced in, because the Bread Wars film has got footage of kind of tank warfare spliced into it, which is quite nice. It had quite a comic Monty Python meets Norman Wisdom type feel to it, so it's quite amusing, really.
Well, it does sound really good fun, and it's a nice that it's an art form which you're keeping going in its own way, and in this internet age, it's great to know that there's out there, and you actually meet together to watch a film rather than sitting on YouTube and looking at cats jumping over things and stuff.
it's interesting. I think there is some interest in it, because somebody sent me a link the other day to some artist that was curating a bit of work, and basically they were exploring the idea of what do people get out of collectively watching one person, like private kind of home movies, and what do you get out of that sharing experience. And I think you're right, it kind of has this sort of additional social effect somewhere, I guess, maybe. Mm. I mean, I do work in the internet, so I get sort of quite excited when I do get into doing something that's a bit more analog and not digital.
Like real.
yeah, exactly.
Have you thought about putting everybody, like a few experiences together in perhaps like a DVD that you can sell on? Because like you say, it must have some historical value in like the clothes that people are wearing and how things looked in like the 60s, 70s.
Well, at the moment, we're very kind of crudely thinking of doing digital transfers, in the respect that whilst we're showing films, I've aimed a camera at them and just, you know, like filmed them with my, you know, like normal camera. Digital camera, so that we're actually able to capture them easily, so we don't have to keep running films through projectors and risking damaging them. I've not thought of the DVD idea.
I do know a gentleman called Graham Hughes who's got a telecine device, and he does produces DVDs for people from their own cine films, so maybe we can get you together at some point. That could prove interesting.
See, I think a lot of people would find that interesting, particularly say if you categorised it in like the West Midlands, or do you know what I mean? Like, put it into two categorisations. I think that.
What we did have was Wolverhampton Archives got in touch and said, we've got loads of films, but we haven't got anything to play them on. Maybe you'd like to borrow them to watch, or maybe you could even host it at the archives. Now, I don't necessarily think we'll host it at the archives, but I think it's fascinating that the idea that they've got loads of these films and then unable to watch them, because that's exactly the scenario that the cine club's for, basically. Mm. And it may sort of feed into, you know, the kind of the ongoing archiving of, like, historical data about Black Country and the whole area, really. I don't know.
You never know where it might lead to.
So when is the next meeting?
So the next meeting is 20th of November, so it's a Tuesday, and it's at Wensfield Community Centre, which is on Well Lane. If you know where Wensfield Central Library is, it's basically part of that. And then the next one after that is the 18th of November, which is another Tuesday, and all the meetings are 8 o'clock to 9:30.
And how much is it to come in?
Free.
Free to get even better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
but please bring a film with you if you can.
Yeah, if you can bring a film. Free tea and cake, although we're quite happy to accept donations to cover costs, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a website, which is 8mmcineclub.tumblr.com.
8mmcineclub.tumblr.com or 8mmcineclub on Twitter as well.
Yeah, and we have a Facebook page, which again is facebook.com/8mmcineclub.
Well, the next event, 20th of November, then the 18th of December, 8 through till 9:30, which is a lot of film, apart from the changeover time, bearing in mind they're probably about 3 minutes long, unless you get another Bread Wars epic. And
yeah.
Worth coming down. It sounds like absolutely brilliant fun, but do be aware there will be a strange clacking noise and strobe effect, so please, if you're affected by either of those, earplugs or some dark glasses. However,
that's right.
It's really cool what you're doing. I am very tempted to come down. I might even bring you along my mother's Popeye movie, which we can't find the soundtrack disc for, but you can more or less work out what's going on.
I was going to say maybe you can provide it in voiceover.
I can't do the impression, unfortunately. We could make up our own words, though. That would certainly be good. Zoe, would you be olive oil for us?
I could try, I suppose.
It might be worth
a go. Did she say very much? I can't remember.
Probably not in this one. It was silent other than the disc. Jerome, thank you so much for joining us. Good to speak to you. And
thanks a lot.
But continued success with what's following on from a great launch night back earlier in the month.
Okay, that's great. Thank you.
Cheers, thanks. Ciao for now.
Bye.
See you then. Bye.
Right, let's take our first tune from the Blue Veils. This is I Am Karma.
Blue Veils, Jason.
It is, and that is taken from their EP Out of the Blue. Joining us on the phone now from the band, we have Will. Hello, sir.
Hey, how you doing? You all right?
I'm good. Now, potted history on the Blue Veils, first of all, please.
Well, we've been going for a while now, nearly about 3 years, but I've gone a couple of lineup changes, and the last, say, 9 months or so is the has it been. We've always had me and the drummer, Martin and Craig, their brothers. They're the main songwriters, and now we've got a new bassist and an addition on another guitar. We feel the sound's really coming together, so this is it.
So filling the sound out and ready for many more live performances, I'm guessing, as you promote the EP and do a lot of tour work.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, the EP's been out for a little while now, so we've actually just finished in the studio doing some new stuff with an album release planned for early next year, maybe springtime. Just done about half of it now and a new single coming up, so yeah, it's all good.
And how does it work with the band lineup changes? Obviously, you've got the core who are doing the bulk of the writing, but have they brought new influences and maybe a new dictionary with them?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. It's a good question. But AD's so talented on the bass. He's so music. He plays drums and piano as well. So it's always handy to have him around in the studio. But the main influence, Sean on the other guitar, played in a jazz band before and also loves country music. So the new single and the new sound also has a bit of a, you can tell that, you know, the riffs in there and that. So it all adds to the sound. It's really cool.
Is this going to be the final sound then? Is this going to be the band that goes all the way?
Yeah, well, don't go all the way, but this is us. This is the happiest we've ever been with our music. Yeah, definitely.
And where have you been playing recently? Have you had any good festival gigs over the summer? And has that really helped form what you're doing going forward?
We haven't had any festival gigs, but we just played. As I say, we were mainly rehearsing once Sean got on board. Sean's only been with us for about 6 months,
right?
So. We've just played the Dublin Castle about 3 weeks ago. That was a great night. I love playing that place in Camden.
Mm-hmm.
We've got New Cross Inn on the 4th of November and then Good Ship in Kilburn. We're having a Harrow night because we're based in Harrow in northwest London. And there's another band called Model Society from up here as well. So we're doing a gig with them. And then hopefully January, February, two or three more and festivals hopefully next summer. Yeah, that's the plan.
Have you got anything coming up for Christmas? Because I'll bet it's a really busy time for you at Christmas because everybody thinks about going out and seeing something new.
Yeah. Well, we've got, like I just said, the two gigs in November, 16th and the 4th. And I think we've confirmed the Enterprise in Camden on the 5th of December. But
as close to Christmas as you get, the 5th.
Yeah,
you've got to have some time after your shopping, haven't you, I suppose? You know, it has to be done.
Better keep it early in the month as well, December, before everyone runs out of money buying Christmas presents.
And when you're gigging and playing live, I mean, do you approach your sets slightly differently to the way you do when you're recording in the studio?
We try to record live as well, so... We've just recorded, like I say, 9 tracks, and they were all done with the drums, Craig and Sean and bass all playing together, and then overdubs on top. So we really want that live feel, you know, because we have recorded differently before, and I think we prefer that, just, you know, a mistake here or two, you know, it adds to the raw feel that we're going for. So and that's what we want when we're live as well, that raw energy, upbeat, fast.
Okay, we'll take a listen to some more music from you then. Come My Way is the next track we're taking off the EP. Anything you want to tell us about this tune before we hear it?
Yeah, this is one of my personal favourites, actually. Really upbeat, in your face, just written about a girl. So, yeah, that's it, as many
are.
Yes. Well, thanks for joining us. Thanks for sharing the music. And we'll enjoy continuing to listen to the Blue Veils throughout the rest of today's show. Thanks for joining us, mate.
Cheers. Great. Thank you.
Definitely.
Across girl like you, maybe
go. Once again from the EP Out of the Blue, that's Come My Way from the Blue Veils. Joining us on the phone now from the band Feeder, we have Grant Nicholas. Hello, sir.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks. Good. Yeah, I've just come back from Tokyo, actually. We've just been out there doing some shows. We did three quite big shows out there, so I'm sort of feeling the jet lag a bit today.
I do know that feeling fairly well, to be fair, but I had a busy week, not quite gigging, but I was, I've just come back from Australia and I've been in the Middle East as well.
That's a really long flight, isn't it? I've done that a few times. That one really beats you up.
You must do a lot of that because, I mean, you've been touring and playing live now. Is it 18 years in the current lineup for Feeder, more or less?
I think we've been going for about 18 to 20 years now. I'm not sure. I sort of lost count of the years. It seems a long time, but it's certainly flown by. I think, we've always been busy and obviously time flies and... but I think we're coming up to our 20th year, I think. I think that seems to be signed, possibly. It was so long ago, it's flown by. But, I think it is around 20 years.
Did you ever imagine it lasting this long when you first started out?
No, probably not.
You are proper career musicians now, aren't you, to be fair?
Feeder's always been very much a song-based band. We've never really been sort of into trends and stuff like that. So I suppose if you take that route, often it can last a little bit longer. So, it's a bit harder to actually get there. But I think, we've got such a loyal fan base, which is obviously growing all the time. And it's, such a mixed age group as well.
And when it comes down to the way your music is received, I've been playing your music down at Wolverhampton Wanderers Football Club for literally since probably 97 with the release of Polythene.
Appreciate it.
I've seen you play live a number of times. I remember you supporting Reef in Wolverhampton many, many moons ago.
And
being at that gig. I've got a signed copy of Polythene somewhere, actually, just to add that one to the mix. But, I mean, you've been playing sellout tours. You mentioned the fact you've been halfway around the world. But you're actually back in Wolverhampton on the 21st of November as well, playing the Civic.
We are, looking forward to it.
You've been up and down the country, and it's been sellout tour after sellout tour, pretty much, hasn't it? How on earth do you cope with all that? Because it must be very hard work. And then, how many albums are we on now? Because Generation Freak Show was released back in April.
This is the eighth official album, but we've had B-side albums, and we've had all sorts of other things. So if you count those, I think it's about 10, but I think it's 8 official albums.
So not being dragged along by current trends and playing your own music is part of the secret of the success. But, I mean... How have you seen your fan base change and develop over the years?
I think like the whole internet really has changed things up massively for all sorts of bands, really. I mean, obviously people don't buy CDs in the way that they used to when we first started. We enjoyed a bit of the sort of 90s when, record sales, obviously were a lot healthier than they are now. But it's the same for everybody, even some of the big, some of the massive acts. But... I think that we've just sort of, we've been quite lucky. We've always sort of made music, we feel is right for us. And we haven't always had the darlings of the press or whatever, or sort of the best press. But, at the same time, we've obviously done something right. And I think it's really about the music for us. And obviously our fan base is very important to us as well. Mm. As long as you get those two things right, then... we're quite happy, you can't please everybody.
But even Generation Freak Show back in April, you've released that on LP. So is that, again, it's working on that exact sort of fan base, the ones who are interested in having something to keep rather than just disposable music?
I think it's a real shame that disappears, obviously, completely. I mean, it's obviously a small market, but, we try and put everything out on vinyl if we can, even our singles, and, we always sell them. I think it's important for us just as a band to sort of maintain that in some way. Mm. Certainly, for some of our more diehard fans, do like to, to have the sort of, all the collection.
Yeah, I think it's that certain age group, isn't it? Because I would much rather have the CD in my hands than just like a digital download.
Yeah, I'm the same, The thing is, it's like weeks and weeks and weeks of work, that goes into those CDs, all the artwork and getting everything right, getting all the credits right, all the thank yous right. And, it can be a bit soul-destroying and with some little kids just going to download it free, but that's just the way it is. And, you can't change that. But, we want to look back on our work, obviously, when we're older and so be proud of it, in some way. You can't get everything right, but at the same time, the album sleeves and all the artwork, is is obviously kind of very important to us as a band.
Yeah.
And actually, there's quite a few young kids, you know, that you sort of still actually like that, you know, that process, you know. I don't think that's gone away completely. It's just not, it's just isn't as popular as it was, you know. Mm. It's all about internet and downloads now and getting music for free.
But it still doesn't take away from the fact that you've got a live gig, and if they are still spending money to come and see you play maybe a couple of times...
Exactly, yeah.
Then you're getting the cash out of them, and I think they get more... that's the important
that's
bit.
A bit crude, Jay.
But you are.
Well, the albums are so cheap now, you know, they sort of come out the first week, and then they sort of, you know, sort of end up being about, you know, actually the album's going for about $2.99 after they've only been out a few weeks, which is absolutely, I mean, it's so cheap. I mean, the actual money goes into making those records. I mean, even nowadays, you know, with technology's caught up, but obviously a bit more, and you can do so much more. You know, if you go back to when we first started, I mean, the whole recording process, it was a very, very kind of expensive process. But I think, but even so, it still all adds up. And I think, you know, as long as we can sort of, you know, have enough money to make the next record, then we're happy, really. But we're doing pretty well. I think we're doing better, say, than most of our contemporaries, really. I mean, half of them have gone. So, you know, we obviously, you know, we're still here. We're still making music, you know, that we like. And we still feel as though we've got something else here to do musically as well.
But it is that select tour that makes a difference. So what's happening single-wise at the moment, then?
Well, that's really it for singles, I think. You know, we were going to do one more single around the tour. We're still kind of not sure what to do on that. I think there was some talk about going back with the Borders and maybe just sort of introducing that one again to, say, just to a few stations, because it almost... felt like it came out too soon. Didn't really have enough time to really build on radio. We felt as though it was a key song, so we may sort of gently service that one, and then we may have one more single, but we're not really quite sure. We want to add to our welcome, but it would be nice if we had four singles off the album if we could.
Mm-hmm. And you do seem to produce an album every 2 years. So does that mean we're not too far away from the next one?
Well, you have to see. I mean, I'm not sure, really. I mean, I think it's going to be our last sort of shows here for a while. I think we're going to take a little bit of time out. So I think, you know, so if you want to come and see Feeder, I would definitely come and see these shows. You know, we're not going to be deep, you know, we're not going to sort of be calling it a day or anything. I just feel as I want to sort of have a bit of time to, you know, get the next album right. Maybe do a few little projects in between and then come back, say, with album number 9.
So if you want to see them live in the next few years, you need to go now, really.
Yes, well,
I'm not saying it'll be a few years, but, you know, but we won't be doing any big touring here for a little while because, you know, it's time to go away, make some new music and sort of kind of, you know, see what the next step's going to be, really.
Yeah. And I don't take too much away from the surprise of the event, but have you got anything special lined up for this set of tours? Is it a bit of a stage show?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, we're going to put as much as we can into the show. And it'll be a mixture of music, really. Obviously, we'll be playing, you know, there'll be some of the new record in there. I mean, that's the whole point of the tour. But obviously, you know, for people who are more the old school fans, obviously want to hear some of the back catalogue as well.
Well, Buck Rogers is a given, isn't it, to be fair?
Well, actually, we do rest it sometimes. Yeah. You know, it's one of those songs where you kind of need to rest it sometimes, otherwise you feel like you're just going to the motions. But it is such a popular song. I think it's even more popular now than it was, say, when it was a hit. But you know, it does definitely bring something to the set, so I'm sure we'll be playing it on the next tour. But you have to wait and see.
Do you have a set lineup for these tours, or say, for example, if you on a particular night you think, oh, I fancy doing such and such tonight, do you change it as you?
Oh yeah, I change it all the time. I'm an absolute nightmare. I drive people around the bend, and I often have a set list about half an hour before we go on. But you know, for me, you know, it's quite important to keep it fresh and not feel like you're sort of doing the same thing every night. Mm. You know, but it's also difficult to keep everybody happy because, you know, when you've got 8 albums, it actually works against you sometimes.
You've got to fit it all into.
You know, into the set, and obviously it's sort of good for us, you know, to play some new music as well. You know, we're very sort of keen to introduce, obviously, you've got new songs to people rather than living off, you know, just the back catalogue.
Oh yeah.
Which end up just being like a greatest hits band, you know, for the rest of your life is not, you know, really what we want to do. But obviously, at the same time, I've been to gigs, you know, to see my favourite bands, and they haven't really played any of their singles or the big hits, and I felt a little bit shortchanged. So it's trying to get,
everybody,
you know,
has their favourite,
trying to get that band. Yeah, I know. And I think some bands, you know, maybe think it's cool not to play, you know, the songs that obviously got them there, but I think that's a little bit unfair on the audience. So I think you have to sort of, you know, find a happy balance, really. Mm.
And if you had a favourite track that you always want to play, that maybe, you know, maybe wasn't even a single, is there something that you're in your own back catalogue that really means the most to you?
Oh, God, yeah. Most of my favourite songs aren't singles. Most of them are fully B-sides. But, it sort of depends, really. I mean, I like a lot of the mellow stuff as well, live. I know it's not, you know, obviously, Feeder's sort of seen as being sort of, you know, quite a heavy indie band, but most of the stuff I write is actually quite mellow as well. So it's kind of, you know, kind of having the balance of the two, really. I mean, you know, I like playing songs, you know, some of the more atmospheric stuff, you know, like Child in You and stuff like that, which we haven't played for a while.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, you know, it's still great fun, you know, to do some of the heavier stuff, and even from, you know, from our earlier works, like, you know, with tracks like Shade and so going back, you know, really to when we started. But it sort of varies. I mean, I think for me, obviously, it's still great to play songs that really get, you know, like the best response, saving the audience, you know, whether it's Just One Feeling, obviously you mentioned Buck Rogers or Just a Day.
Yeah, well, Just the Way the Feeling is the one I want to hear when I come along to the gig.
It's always one that always seems to feel like it sort of, you know, obviously hits people, and it sort of, it obviously had an impact on people after, you know, after it came out. I mean, another one for me is High, is always a live favourite, which we don't always play, but it's one that feels like a very loyal song to us, and it still feels, you know, like it has a place even after all these years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that was one of the highest selling ones off Polythene as far as the singles went.
Well, that was the one that really turned things around for us at radio at the time. You know, mm-hmm. I think, you know, obviously, you know, we had good press to save that album, but then High was the one that really got us onto radio, and that's when people started to hear, you know, to hear about the name, you know.
Mm.
Well, it's been fantastic the last 18 to 20 years. I know it's going to continue. You've already told us that. There's no getting out of it. You're not going to retire for a good while. But
no.
It's good talking to you, Grant. Thank you for joining
good
us.
Good talking to you as well. Thanks a lot.
And I always like talking to musicians who are slightly older than me, if it's only by 4 years, because most of the people we talk
about... Oh, well, thanks for mentioning that.
But it means that you've got a rounded outlook on life, and it means that the music means more, I think, as well, to be fair.
Exactly.
But now,
the music keeps you young.
That's it. You're certainly
supposed to be buttering up.
He's very much better than I am. No, I don't. I've got the free tickets already organised.
Oh, okay.
So that's another thing.
Is that one?
No, but well, the labels have always looked after me well as far as Feeder goes. But you're very much about, you know, it's sharing your music and making sure that people have access to it as well, aren't you? So it is.
Oh, totally, yeah. Very important to us,
well worth getting along. Wednesday the 21st of November here in Wolverhampton playing the Civic Hall, and the website for the rest of the gigs would be
just on the feederweb.com, www.feederweb.com, and it's got all the live dates up there.
Brilliant, Grant, thank you for joining us. Lovely to speak to you, and looking forward to the next album in probably about 18 months time.
Great,
and that gig.
A lot.
Okay, cheers. Thanks, mate.
Thank you.
Now.
Take care. Bye.
Now let's take some more music from the Blue Veils. It's Dirty Tricks.
Show me how to grow. Got tickets for the show, but I was never that worried. The papers, they tell me what to say, when to work and play, but I was never too hurt. I have a goal to sell my
Dirty Tricks from the Blue Veils. And talking of such, we now have on the phone the one and only Phil Butler. Hello, sir.
What a segue that was.
Yeah, as I say, what is it, the Dirty Tricks?
Well, I've heard the latest edition of your podcast in Series 3 of the Green Room, and it is a little saucier than previous outings.
Oh. Well, I always wanted it to be a more frank sort of... I don't think British people open up as much as Americans, you know. I think, you know, Americans have got this thing where, you know, anything goes, you know, I'm an open book, you can talk about anything you like. Mm. But I think we're a bit more...
Quite reserved, aren't we?
A bit more reserved over here, but I'm trying to buck the trend.
And you're doing that once again with a return to chatting behind the scenes on the comedy circuit of the UK. And it could well be...
You could like the second series.
I did like the second series!
He's not going to let you forget that, is he, Jason?
Oh, dear. Although we've done a critique on your third series already, haven't we? And it was all positive, wasn't it? It was all good.
Only been out 2 days.
You left him a little message, have you, Jason?
We were having a little natter the other night. We were catching up on how things work. Before we talk more about the Green Room, you've been a busy boy. You've been off travelling again, haven't you?
Oh, I'm always travelling. But I'm loving it at the moment because I'm actually an advanced scuba diver now. So when I go to these exotic places, I can go and do a little bit of diving, which is absolutely wonderful.
I'd love to be able to see what's down there, but I wouldn't fancy the actual journey because I can't swim. So I think I'd drown. No.
It's suddenly sounding more appealing.
It would be really nice. Are you going to send me on a scuba diving course?
We'll organise that. We'll see what we can do. We've got to send you off doing gymnastics sometime in the near future.
Oh, so yes, I forgot.
Scuba diving could be the one.
Just don't give her a scuba tank.
So, anywhere different? Anywhere new? Any little trips overseas to look after our troops?
I did go to Cyprus, and actually tying in with diving, I did my first shipwreck. It's a wreck called the Zenobia over in Cyprus, and it's a passenger ferry that went down in 1980. And it's amazing because you can still see the trucks on the back of the boat and everything. You can swim through the galley.
Do you actually swim inside the boat and stuff? That would scare me. That would, in case it collapsed or something.
You've got to be an advanced diver, don't you know?
So did you stop on the outside and just look through the windows?
Oh,
then?
Cutting! He's got his certificates and everything.
So that's been fun, you know, doing that sort of stuff. And
is that making its way into the...
Now finished.
I was going to say, the Giggling's gone, but that's only because you're so blooming busy.
That was one of the reasons. It's just hard to commit to every first Sunday of the month, you know, when you know, if I get a big gig in, you know, my missus can't do that gig on her own, so I have to go down there with her, and, we've sort of lost out on a bit of money there, you know. You know, because if I get a big gig in, I've got to go and do that, really, you know.
Yeah.
So we've knocked on the head, but we are going to do more gigs there, but not on a regular basis.
It's more going to fit in with a diary.
Yes. Yeah.
So it'll be specials.
As
exactly. Yeah.
But it went out with a bang. Paul Zerdin joined you down there for that one, didn't he?
It was amazing. What a great night. And Mark Olver, who's a brilliant stand-up and TV warm-up man. And also Doc Brown, who used to be with Mark Ronson on that sort of circuit, and Amy Winehouse.
Mm-hmm.
He used to be a rapper, and now he's a stand-up. But he still raps in his stand-up. And it was an amazing night. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to the next one, but we don't know when that's going to be. Probably February. We're looking at.
Mm-hmm. But you've got plenty of work. I noticed that you seem to have. Is it Sheffield you've got for Christmas?
Yeah, all December in Sheffield. It's a place called The Last Laugh. It's at the Memorial Hall in Sheffield. And it's going to be absolutely incredible. I'm there Wednesday till Saturday every week. And
they've got a big shopping centre because you can carry on doing your Christmas shopping while you're there.
I think it was more like going to just stand up than shop. But
no, I mean in between. I think it's got a nice shopping centre, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, I hope so. Be nice for kids to get something nice this year.
Yeah, other than the toys you normally steal off them and do your act with. But
in the act. So it's all going great guns. You know, I'm having a wonderful time at the moment. I'm just trying to think if there's anything else I can tell you.
Anything else to sell? Come on, before we get to the podcast.
I could tell you something. I've got a DVD that you can buy on my website.
Ready
you can go
for Christmas?
to can go to philbutler.co.uk and pick up my DVD. Some of the money goes to Help for Heroes, which is the British charity for the wounded soldiers.
Exceptionally worthy cause, so nice one. And this all comes off the back of the fact you've got a medal, isn't it?
I did get a medal, I got the Operational Services Medal a little while ago. It was about 10 of us got it.
Mm-hmm.
We all went for an afternoon tea. And, I think it was Sir General Richard... someone, I can't remember his name now.
Someone very important.
Yeah, someone very important in the military came along and gave us our medals, which was lovely, you know.
That was good.
So on to the podcast then.
Can I just say, I'm on his website now.
I wonder what you're doing with your phone. I thought you were texting someone again or ordering pizza.
And there's a free TomTom voice download on here. Is that your voice?
Oh, we never met.
That would be quite funny.
Yeah, no, what you do is you go to the free TomTom page on my website and you download, I think it's 2 files, and you put them onto your desktop or whatever, and then you plug your TomTom in, drag them over into your TomTom, and you're done. And my voice comes over on your TomTom.
Oh, cool. With that.
Well, I do have a TomTom, but my TomTom is only for the US, so that could be quite intriguing. Next time in the US.
Why the hell have you... Why have you only got one that's good for the US?
Because that's where I use a TomTom. If I'm in the UK, I've got it's all built into my iPad, and you can't update that one. But my only proper TomTom is a US one. And I've got a Navman for Australia, if you really want to know, but there we are.
Ooh, so do you use it abroad then?
When I'm doing travelling, when I'm heading off on my various jaunts with work, I do I do drive around.
You want to get your special TomTom voice?
I tell you what else you might like on my website.
There's some lovely photos.
The artwork page.
Because you can actually draw and paint, can't you?
I can,
And there's some new stuff that's gone on recently, isn't there?
Yeah, two new pictures have gone on. In the last few weeks, one of my eye, which I call the artist's eye, and also a picture that I've had in my mind for a long time. It's a picture of a lion's face, but if you look closely, it's the back of a woman as well.
I was going to say it looked a bit rude for a bit.
It's supposed to. That is the area of filth is where you're actually pushing your career next, isn't it? So let's go on to series 3. Season 3 of the Green Room podcast, because you are, as we mentioned earlier on, asking some quite probing questions.
Yeah, some very personal questions. I wanted to give it a little bit of an edge, you know. I wanted to just give it a little bit of a, you know, kick up the bum, really. You know, not just ask the same sort of humdrum questions, you know, how did you become a comedian and all that sort of stuff. I wanted to know, you know, when did you lose your virginity? That sort of stuff, you know, all the sort of stuff that nobody ever asks.
But you had
a good idea. You said that I should do it by numbers.
I think there should be a bit of a chance then to whether they're going to get asked the rudest, most pertinent questions, or will they, you know, through the magic
or something
of
something more innocuous?
Yes, just something about what size shoe they take, that sort of thing. I think that is an important one: knowing what size feet your comedian has.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You're going to be rude again, aren't you? I can tell you're building up to rude.
To think of something.
No, it's similar to the size of something else. Isn't
it is. You have us.
I was going to say the bigger the feet, the funnier you are. But obviously, I'm not on your rude wavelength.
Well, Tommy Cooper had massive feet, didn't he?
Yeah.
And a fez. So, it is season 3 of the Green Room podcast. No holds barred.
Yeah, well, I hope so. You know, I hope that some. I mean, Mark Mayer, the guy I interviewed this time round, he was wonderful. You know, because I said to him, I said, you know, either answer the questions or don't answer the questions. You know, you can say no comment if you want to say no comment. You know, you can move on at any time. You know, I'm not going to probe you or anything. Or you know. But I think the most interesting thing about it is if somebody's asked a difficult question, it's whether they answer the question or whether they don't answer the question, which I think is interesting. It's not necessarily the answer to the question.
And I do like the fact that we find out a bit about you at the same time, because you're in some ways you're competing with them to give the best, most in-depth answer to the questions that you're asking as well.
Yeah, you'll probably hear some personal stuff about me as well.
So
yeah, along the way.
If you want to know about,
I had to cut out some of it. Actually,
otherwise you'd end up in trouble with the wife.
Time, I think.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. So give us the web address, Phil, for both the everything on the artwork and stuff. Remind us of that one and the podcast itself.
Okay, so for all the for the artwork, for the TomTom voice, for my live dates, and for just about everything, really. I mean, you can get to everything through philbutler.co.uk. And if you want to just hit the podcast, just go to thegreenroompodcast.com. Oh, and also, can I mention that next month I'm going to be doing the Movember thing again?
Ah, this is it. So this is November with facial hair.
Yes. So I will be growing a moustache for prostate cancer next month.
But it's going to be chilly.
I'm in the stage before, actually, at the moment, because I'm not shaving for this week, so I get a bit of a head start on it.
Oh,
so
is that cheating?
I'm going for the stubbly look at the moment.
If you do want to get sponsored on that one, have you got a Just Giving page, or how does that work?
Yeah, it'll be on the Movember thing, I think. You know, I think if you go to the Movember website and maybe look for me on there, I think it'll be the same sort of thing as last. I don't know if I have to register again, but I had a page last year. And we raised quite a bit of money, actually, last year. I can't remember how much exactly it was, but it was quite a bit.
But
I was very impressed with the amount of people we gave.
And you never know, when it comes to the Sheffield gigs in the room to Christmas, you could dye it in seasonal colours.
I could do, yeah, but then that's December, then.
Yeah.
Actually, the first gig I'm doing in Sheffield is the 30th of November, so I will still have the tash for then.
You can give it a plug on stage as well, can't you? See if you can get the whole audience. Yeah,
exactly. Get somebody, send a bucket around, see what you can get out of them.
Yeah.
That's exactly it, yeah.
Phil, as ever, fantastic speaking to you. And
great to speak to you.
Good luck with everything. And so the podcast is there, the Green Room podcast, but do be warned, it's not only got sweary bits, it's got filth.
Saucy, is it?
Still filth, yes. Absolute filth.
Yes.
It won't be
once a month anymore. I don't even know whether it's going to be once a week. I think it's going to be as and when.
So
I'll put one up whenever I nab somebody to speak to.
On average, probably fortnightly.
No, I reckon there could be sort of a couple a week, you know, two or three a week some weeks, and then, you know, maybe one a week, you know, but I'm going to do it more regularly, I think.
So what you need to do is subscribe and make sure you're checking every day your iTunes account.
Absolutely, absolutely.
That sounds good to me. Phil, as ever, thank you. If we get a chance to meet you before Christmas, it'd be great. But if you don't, have a fantastic time doing your December gigs and enjoy writing all of that money over to the taxman in January.
Yes. Oh, you were going to have Rob Heaney on the show as well.
We've got to get Rob on at some point. We're in negotiations with his agents. Well, him, he's playing football on Monday nights when we record. So we've got to find a different night to record for him.
I'm going to be seeing him on Wednesday because.
You're doing this workshop, aren't you?
Yeah, we're doing a sitcom writing course. There's about 15 of us, and we're all going to be learning about how to write a sitcom. We're actually going to write a sitcom as well in the course, so that'd be great.
And that will no doubt be on YouTube at some point.
Hopefully,
hopefully
on the telly.
Yeah, well, as a man with many acting talents, and we've seen you in things like the AA commercial.
Hotel Babylon.
That was a good one, Hotel Babylon.
Oh, I used to like that.
Yeah, well, that was
on there. Little cameo.
Yeah, is that the back of your head, that one, or was that the one where you?
No, I was fully on it. Okay. Got annoyed and everything.
Have you got an equity card as well from that?
No, I don't. I don't think they really bother with that anymore. I mean, when I first started 20 years ago, you had to have one, but you know, I don't have one now. And I could still act on telly, so I don't really think you need it.
You are a celebrity in everybody's eyes.
Well, thank you very much.
There you go. Phil, cheers. Thanks again, mate. And enjoy your writing course on the week.
Cheers. All the best. Take care, you guys.
Ta for now. Bye bye.
Take care. Bye bye.
Right, let's take our final tune from the Blue Veils. This is Bolivia.
Bolivia.
And time for us to finish this episode, episode 175.
It's gone quick, hasn't it?
It's flying by, and particularly for the fact that it's been so long since we last recorded. Yeah, I know, but there we are. So it's nice to see you. Good to be back in the country, and I'll catch up with you again next week when we'll have more fantastic guests, won't we?
Yeah, we will indeed, Jason.
Cheers. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye from the milk bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye from the milk bar. Yeah.